In the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today is the second Sunday of the Blessed Coptic month of Bauna. And in this week, we hear the story about the four men who carried their friend and introduced him before the Lord. And we read this verse that says, when he saw their faith, speaking about the Lord Christ, when he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. So here, this is a clear story that tells us about that there is an intercession. There are some people, through their faith, their friend was healed. So the subject of intercession of the saints is one of the subjects that has a lot of debate. And we as Orthodox, we of course believe in this intercession. We believe that the saints and the angels, they hear our prayers and they pray on our behalf. We do not pray to the saint. We do not worship the angels or the heavenly hosts, as some people might claim against us. We believe that they are still at work. The people who do not believe in the intercession of the saints, they usually say, yes, maybe somebody can pray to you if he is still alive, if he is still here in this world, he can hear you, he can know about your circumstances, and then he can pray on your behalf. But this does not work when the saints, like they leave the world, how they would know about us? How can you claim that they are still functioning? Let us go and examine the scripture and see if those people who departed from this world are still at work. They still can hear us. They still can intercede on our behalf. The first evidence, we find it in a very nice story in the book of 2 Kings chapter 13. Elisha, the great prophet, he departed. And then he was buried in a tomb. Then there was a war between the Israelites and the Syrian army. What happened is, one of the soldiers died, and by accident, they put him in the tomb of Elisha. Just by touching, by coming in contact with the bones of Elisha, he was restored back to life. We hear this, and they put the man in the tomb of Elisha. And when the man was laid down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. If the bones are still functioning, how can we say that his soul stopped working and praying on our behalf in heaven? Why then the people find it strange that we keep the relics of the saints? Why this might be something not understood? If the bones of Elisha in the Old Testament, God gave them this favor. People were returned to life. This man returned back to life just by mere touching of his bones. How can we say that only his bones are working and his soul is not working anymore, cannot do anything on our behalf in heaven? The second evidence, we find it also in many stories in the Bible that tells us that the people who were favored before God, they were able to know without seeing. The same man, Elisha, he knew by the eye of a spiritual eye that there is a conspiracy against the Israelites. So he went to the king of Israel and said to him, the Syrian army are coming against you, and they are doing so and so and so. So if this man Elisha was given the ability to see without, to know without seeing, then why it is very difficult, it cannot be believed that the saints in heaven, they see us and know about our circumstances here on earth. When St. Paul prophesied, for example, about that there are certain wolves will come to the flock and try to disperse it, he knew with the eye of prophecy that these things are going to happen. Then why those saints will be denied this ability when they put off the flesh? How can we understand that someone was given this gift, he can know without seeing, and then when he will go to heaven, God will take it away from him and say that that's it, you cannot do it anymore. If the saints, while still in the flesh, had the gift of knowing secret things, how much more would they know in heaven after putting off their bodies? We know for sure that our knowledge will increase and will be much, much more than what we already know now. We cannot believe that God will deprive his saints from the ability of knowing without seeing. Evidence 3. The Lord Christ said that there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. How can heaven will have joy if they do not know? So apparently they are watching. They know what is going on and they rejoice when you see somebody coming from darkness to light. Then if they rejoice because they know and this will make them happy, for sure that this is the subject of their prayers. They pray on behalf of those people in order that they will repent and their repentance will cause their joy. It's a clear verse the Lord said about this joy in heaven. If the people rejoice when we repent, for sure that they know about us, not only so, but they pray on our behalf as well. The fourth evidence, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. The Lord said to us this parable about certain man who is rich, and he was a selfish man. We all know the story in Luke 16. And this man went to Hades, and Lazarus, his neighbor, he was a very poor person, but he was righteous one, and he went to the bosom of Abraham. Then we hear this discussion between the rich man and Abraham. He said to him, "Send to me Lazarus to cool my tongue by dipping his finger in water, and just cool my tongue because I am tormented in this flame." And we hear Abraham say to him, "No, he cannot do this because of he cannot cross this gulf between the place where we are and you." And meanwhile, this man Lazarus, he already like he got his share of suffering. How did Abraham know about that? And then when the rich man started to debate with Abraham about, okay, if you don't want to send him to me, send him to my brothers on earth, he will tell them to straighten up their ways, and so they are not going to come to hell. So Abraham said to him, "They have Moses and the prophets." How did Abraham know about Moses, who came after him with hundreds of years? Apparently, the people who are in heaven are not isolated. They are not living in their own realm, knowing nothing about the people on earth. Abraham was speaking with this man with a mind of a person who is acquainted with what is going on earth. The fifth evidence. It's a very interesting story. Maybe you would like to go and read it back when you go back from this church. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 21. There was a certain king. His name was Jehoram. And this man Jehoram was an evil, a wicked king who led the people of Judea astray from God. It was very sad that those people who used to worship God, this king built for them mountains and hills in order to go and worship idols. So what happened is, Elijah, at that time, he was already in heaven. He was taken up alive, as we all the story, around 100 years before this one. Elijah sent a letter to this man Jehoram, warning him and saying to him, "Because you did so and so, now you have to watch because wrath of God will come upon you." Not only Elijah was praying on behalf of God's people, but he was also writing a letter from heaven warning an evil king here on earth. How can, after we read this story, we say that no, they do not know about us, they do not know what is going on here? Evidence 6, the intercession for Jerusalem. We hear this in the book of Zechariah in the Old Testament, chapter 1, verse 12. The angel prayed and said, "O Lord of hosts, How long will you not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which you were angry these 70 years? So the angel here was watching what is going on for 70 years. And meanwhile, he was interceding on behalf of Jerusalem and asking the Lord to have mercy on this city and saying to the Lord, you have been angry over those people for 70 years. It is now, O Lord, time for mercy. If the angel was doing this on behalf of Jerusalem, why it is difficult to believe that they are doing this still on our behalf? We have many, many things actually. We can read, for example, in the book of Revelation, that the angels were carrying incense before God with the prayers of the saints. So if they carry the prayers of the saints to present it before God, how they do not know about it? If they introduce it before God, how they are not acquainted of our prayers here? The subject of the intercession of the saints is very important for us to believe in. They are our supporters in heaven. We ask them to pray on our behalf. We feel their companion. We know that they are there and they are aware and they know and they are praying on our behalf. Why we should deny ourselves their intercession and asking them for this intercession? It's also reflected the humility that we do not feel like proud or haughty, but we ask for someone else to pray on our behalf. It makes this connection between the earthly and the heavenly. We decorate the church, the iconostasis, with the pictures and icons of the saints to make us to believe and know and realize that they are among us, they share us, they know what is going on with us, and they are praying on our behalf as well. The story of the four people who carried their friend to the Lord, and he was healed, and he was forgiven through their faith, is also another proof for us for the case of the intercessions of the saints. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.